Scott Bartlett, the co-chair. We're calling our meeting of the Lane County Animal Services Advisory Committee to order on this Monday, May 13th, 2019. And do we have any, we have some members of the public. I want to welcome you. Thank you, Molly and Paul. And Janetta, you have an hour.
I'll try not to take my head question. In the spay odor vouchers, of course, that's for unincorporated Lane County. What would it take to make those vouchers available to people within city limits?
I've never seen hard and fast that if we didn't have enough takers who lived out in the boondocks, that if there was a crying need for, you know, using these within an urban area, that that wouldn't be in sync with the county's objective of reducing impounds, reducing unwanted pregnancy, and the overpopulation that results in that, in the euthanasia, whatever. So I don't know in terms of legality. I mean, we've had conversations with, oh no, if you live 1 foot outside of River Road in Santa Clara, you can't get it.
Right, but yeah, we've had the conversation, but it would be like nice to have some specifics. Could the city of Cottage Grove, inside city limits, utilize these vouchers? If they can, what steps need to be taken to make them available to residents within the city limits?
Does the wording say outside of urban areas?
No. How about if we research this and run it by the lawyers and come back to this next month?
This probably all was instigated by my conversation. The genetic guy said, if for some reason we could get Cottage Grove to not be a home rule city, you know what I mean, and maybe turn over the licensing to you guys for the city of Cottage Grove, we would qualify, right, from what I understand. Is that what we talked about?
We talked about it.
And I said that's probably mission impossible, right, because they don't like to do that, but we would then qualify without question.
Yeah, but it seemed like it would be worth whatever the protocol would be to start the conversation.
Well, for example, if LCAS had a contract, let's say for animal services with Cottage Grove, all right, or Florence. Do we have one with Florence now?
No, but we have one with
Junction City?
Lowell, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, presumably, because we have a contract with Lowell, we could avail Lowell of these things. Maybe you could have a partial agreement with Cottage Grove that, in exchange for their helping in addressing the overpopulation or unsterilized population, we can avail a certain number, when available, of vouchers to them. I would think a memorandum of understanding or some type of communication. The goal in this thing, and yours truly was involved in creating it, was to expand the number of poor people, dog guardians, or owners, to help them spay and neuter their dogs. Not to displace vets, but homeless people, people down on their luck, people that are just whatever. They're not going to do it unless they're led to it. So I would think that might be a good solution. There aren't any, to my knowledge, any hard and fast things. The board, we just instituted a policy of 5% of revenues should go to subsidize spay and neuter vouchers. You know? And at that time, of course, LCAS was responsible for the city of Eugene and where else?
Springfield.
Yeah. You know.
The big pots of people.
But, you know, historically, when we apply for them, if they're just outside the city limit, we've had to eat a lot of them because they were on this side of the street instead of this side of the street. Yeah. And you just tell them, no, you don't qualify because the address is wrong. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Let's do a little research and we'll get back to you at our next meeting.
Could, you know, the last 3 years, you know, towards the end of the fiscal year, the end of, was it June, I always ask, and we always ask, hey, how much do we have left? Mm-hmm. And you always say, well, we'll roll it over. And it used to be we'd roll it over into an LCAS stream fund or something, not send it back to the county.
Right.
But we always ask that, and we've never really been oversubscribed by far, right?
No.
So it seems like the more the better,
yeah.
You know? And you shouldn't have to turn those people away if they're low income. Maybe you could, you know, use a voucher, split it or whatever.
Well, you know, thanks to Jeanette and people of her ilk, we do them most of the time, but it'd be nice to stretch it even more. I mean, anything we can stretch is better, okay? Yeah.
You know, and looking at your statistics, in April, there were only 2 dog vouchers and 4 cat vouchers.
And
whole county.
And so the question we have, based on the revenues that are available now, mm-hmm. how many numerically vouchers would you guesstimate theoretically could be utilized tomorrow if there was a demand for it?
I have no idea. We'd have to look at it.
But how much money is in the 5% kitty left?
Well, I know that it's, Charlie's just told me that it's approximately 10,000.
Right, 10,000?
Is about what it is for spay and neuter programs. And
each voucher is worth 50?
Yeah, and in some cases they're worth 100 if there's multiple.
So that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we approach the 10,000.
No, I mean, you mean to date or?
Well, I think annually.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we.
I mean, we've got a need here, and if we can figure out a way, I mean, and keep it legitimate and keep it commonsensical. Seems like we ought to do that. And if there's no hard and fast prohibition. And if there's a need, and if our charge by the board, you know, in terms of creating this committee and creating that statute, the two, is to lower or minimize the incidence of needless euthanasias and needless impounds, and to subsidize people who need it, you know, they don't have to go through. You know, I think we also were a little more flexible as to the criteria, or they didn't have to bring a 1040 in, or.
Yeah, I would, you know, I can see your point, but I also could argue that why would we want to subsidize Eugene and Springfield if they don't want to do it for themselves? And I understand we need to help animals, but taking the funds, maybe we're funding too much of this. I have needs here in LCAS that I can't meet. So if we put too much money into this program, let's take less money of it out. I can spend it on staff. So I'm not saying that's my position. I just that's the devil's argument.
Well, it's only 5%
of
income, number one. Number two, the purpose, the underlying purpose in all this was to try to address some outstanding issues that have improved over the years but still are out there.
Yeah, but we don't have any authority in cities that have their own animal control programs.
Right.
So I can see to get this approved, that reluctance would have to be overcome.
Reluctance by whom?
Well, for me, for number one. To be quite honest.
Well, we haven't been as proactive in the...
I mean, the resources that Eugene has are a lot greater than the resources we have.
You don't want to get me going on Eugene. I mean, they screwed us over. And they were foolish in a lot of their decisions. But and they were getting a good deal with LCAS and LCARA. But anyway.
But I think the point is that the program needs to be relooked at with fresh eyes since the changes, you know, we've went our own ways. Is there any way we can help more people? That's what I want to do.
Well, you know, when LCARA was operating in full, we had a really good information outreach program. There were these things on mini pet mart and vet counters that had all the different brochures on it. We had PSAs, we had radio spots, we had little ads in the weekly, you know, opt to adopt, you know, a license is a...
There's more staff than should be able to do those things. We don't have the staff now.
Yes, but we have some resources.
Yes.
And those resources could go a little bit towards letting people know. I mean, the axiom of politics is you can't expect people to deal with information they don't have.
That's true.
All right? And if so, if our situation is, that's partly the case, what could we do affordably to have the county PR people or someone? Do we have in file all the different brochures we used to have?
I think so.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, so you could tell that it was a fully operating... Go ahead.
One of the questions I have is what is it about Lane County Animal Control that the city of Cottage Grove wouldn't be better off using your service?
They want the money from licensing and its territoriality.
I was asking a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Forgive me. I would be a smart ass.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it makes perfect sense for them to turn over the dog control thing to you, but it's a little bit probably like the county where when we say we have someone breaking into our house, they say, well, please turn in a report in the morning unless you're dead.
Right.
I mean, that is what the sheriff, I mean, they don't have the power to come out. If you have a B&E and you're not being hurt or threatened, they say, well, let us know what happens, you know. That's hard to believe, but I think that probably takes priority.
B&E is breaking and entering?
Yeah.
They don't come out?
They don't come out.
Yeah, we have.
People are stealing and they broke in your house. Unless they are carrying a gun and they're going to injure you, they don't bother. You just have to write a report in the morning.
Yeah. And it's kind of what we do. We have 1.5 animal control officer, FTE. When they're working, we respond to calls, but if it's when they're not working, if it's something severe, then we ask the sheriffs to help with this or the local police if it's. But we can't.
So one instance like that, and then they don't want you anymore. I mean, if they have a dog at large at midnight.
Well, we're not. We don't respond to the dog at large anyway. We haven't responded to the dog at large for years. It's got to be an injured dog or dangerous behavior or something like that.
What about a dog that's running in the middle of I-105?
We don't respond.
Why?
We don't have the resources to respond to a dog at least. Unless it's posing a danger. Now, if it's in the middle of 105, okay, that could be a danger. But they would dispatch police for that. But as far as an animal welfare thing, we don't respond for barking or dog at loose or anything like that.
Does Cottage Grove have an animal control?
Inside city limits, the police deal with dogs.
Yeah.
They do not deal with cats.
Please deal with dogs. Have you ever talked to people you know on the city council about allocating a small percentage for vouchers? Do you go before them and say, hey, we got a problem here in River City?
And no, we haven't. Dr. Penfold brought this up to me a couple 3 weeks ago.
I encourage her because she helps me out trying to get some of this stuff done. You know, if we could somehow convince them to use Lane County as their primary go-to dog control issues, and the licensing was done through you instead of through them, then we would qualify for, I'll bet you we'd have 10 a month down there that qualify for vouchers, okay? Because that is where a lot of poor people live, is in Cottage Grove,
Row River and all those places
out
there.
We can get Row River because it's outside the city limits, okay?
Right.
So we can get Saginaw. We can get a lot of the areas that aren't incorporated, but the city of Cottage Grove itself, the minute they get inside that,
then if I were to go to Cottage Grove City Council, is it the licensing issue itself that is the holdup?
No.
Is there something else? What would I need to know to talk to them about?
Well, if they wanted the agreement, we can get you a demo if they're interested to copy the agreement we have with Lowell. But we do it on a cost reimbursement basis when they call us for a dangerous behavior or whatever, and then they pay us for that. It's a contract. It's
an intergovernmental agreement.
But I thought the licensing was integrally involved with that.
No, it is not. It is very focused on, they do not have an animal control officer, and so they wanted to use ours on a cost basis.
Okay,
but it doesn't. I understand, but it doesn't encompass licensing.
The money, and you're going to be better off if you agree to do the licensing.
Yeah,
okay?
That'd be great.
And
but
for that, you should be willing to bend a little bit in the offsetting costs for taking care of individual hazardous animals. I would think.
We would certainly take a look at it.
Do they have
you understand what I'm trying to say? Is a tit for tat kind of a thing. You know what I mean? If you're going to receive this money over here, and it's going to cost X over here, if you receive 10 grand, but you've got 5 grand of offsetting costs, there should be a meeting of the minds here a little bit.
No, we could take a look at any proposal like that. Lowell found out very quickly that they maybe shouldn't call us as much as they were calling us.
They had a big cat problem.
Yeah, we don't deal with cats. just
dogs.
We don't deal with cats.
But they had a big overpopulation thing of cats. Does the Cottage Grove Police Department have kennels or cattery or anything?
Yeah, they do. A couple.
They do. And do they use them for lost animals?
They hold the stray dogs, and they put a posting on their Facebook page. Most of the dogs have been returned to owner. Mm-hmm. And I think I've only brought up either 2 or 3 this year that no owner claimed. Because there is a contract between Cottage Grove and Green Hill that they will take stray dogs. But Cottage Grove has to hold them for the 3 days. And then, like I say, most dogs have been returned to owner almost within the same day that the picture is put up on Facebook.
Do you know any city councilors?
Not off the top, but I'm sure I do.
Do you know the folks at the Blackberry Pie Society? Do you know any of those people? Alice Doyle or any of those people?
I know them all. They're a really good friend of mine.
Okay, you know them. Bertie and all. Gail and
all. Yeah, I got my first 2 cats from them in 1970. So all right. That gives you an idea how far back that.
Well, they know a lot of the city council people.
Yeah, they do.
And this is budget time right now. And if you could just establish, do you live outside though, do you? Do you live in Cottage Grove itself?
No, I'm outside city.
Right, but you're the personification of Cottage Grove. So if you could talk to one of the counselors or more, possibly network, to ask them to put a line item. I mean, you're one of the heads of the Cottage Grove Humane Society, right? Okay. Well, you have standing. So you could ask them to put in their impending budget $2,000 for vouchers. And they could be those vouchers. They could make their own. Or they could purchase Lane County's vouchers or work some deal like that, seemed to me. And then we can also address this whole thing about territoriality. I mean, dogs don't know city limit things.
Well, good luck on that one.
And, you know, the thing is, Eugene is the county seat. I understand. I understand the whole thing. I mean, they throw so much money on neighborhood things and newsletters and, you know, I get it. All right. Let's...
Could I get a number of towns that are excluded? Like Florence? Yeah. Is Florence excluded?
We do not deal with Florence. They don't have an agreement with us.
Huh?
They don't have an agreement for us to do animal control. We don't license in their city, and we don't do animal control in their city. But
Florence,
as far as I heard, they don't do it themselves.
My question is, does Florence have their own licensing?
No.
So that it automatically defaults to you?
Nope.
It's a county law?
Nope. It's a state law, but if the city's responsible for it, if they have their own, you know, rules, unless they opt in with us, and Florence has never done that. So I don't think I'm mistaken. They don't do licensing on their own. They don't have an animal control officer, but on certain times they've called us to respond, and we won't do that.
Because there's a lot of misunderstanding about how this works. I was under the understanding that if you guys licensed them, you receive the revenues from that city, that you then are responsible for including into this.
Well, we would. We would work that agreement out. But they don't license their animals through us.
No, they don't license. No, but dogs are only licensed if they are licensed through you for Lane County.
Yeah, right.
They
right.
don't
that's
have
right.
their own licensing.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
that's a defect in your program, not theirs.
No, it's they've...
From what I can see.
What
you know.
They've said is they are not going to address it.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
But they don't want
who's,
us to
who's
do
they?
It. Florence. When this came like a year or two ago, we were dealing with Florence about this.
See, that's the reverse of what I understood it to be, okay? Because I've always told people that if your city does not license dogs, it always reverts back to the county as being the responsible agent because of the state law.
Not necessarily.
That should be.
I think
we have to have an agreement with each city for that.
There is an aspect of the public health jurisdiction.
Yeah,
if a municipality doesn't have its own public health authority, that does redound to the county.
Back.
Yes,
and in view of the fact that licensing rabies vaccination verification is public health, then ipso facto.
Yeah, I think it does.
I think you're right.
So I've always told people that if your local municipality is not responsible for licensing your dogs, that it falls back on the county.
Sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not. Depends if we have an agreement.
You know, because like, okay, but I mean, like Lake Ten Lamp and all that?
Yeah.
That's yours?
Yeah, that's county, I believe.
You understand the dilemma that, that 10 miles kind of a city, kind of not a city, kind of a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so where's the line that all of a sudden says, okay, well, this is and this isn't?
Yeah. Well, let's get some information for you about every single incorporated area in the county.
Because I know I have vouchers for 10 miles, but when I went to Florence, they wouldn't okay them. And I'm going,
right.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to have some sort of rule that said, okay, if you're a municipality, then we're not going to cover you. I mean, I kind of think the county dropped the ball on this one a little bit. Okay, I think it would have behooved you to say, listen, we would like to license the dogs for Florence. From that revenue, we will then have monies to do these X, Y. All the dogs in Florence aren't being licensed?
Well, no, there must be. If you call up City Hall and say, how do I get our dog licensed here in Florence, they probably tell you, come on.
You don't get the rabies certificates from Florence Veterinary Hospital?
Yeah, we do get those.
Huh?
I believe we do get those.
I don't understand that then. To me, that doesn't make any sense.
Let me do some research on each
mandatory rabies reporting never came up in Florence.
I understand you're in a quadrant because I don't know the answer either.
Yeah.
That's
why I want to look into it and we'll get back to this.
Because if there's revenues to be generated, then it might be worth pursuing.
Yeah,
revenues about what you're about. I mean, you'd like
I know we already have a spreadsheet. I've seen it in my head. We'll go up and update that with each incorporated area and make sure we're on the same news.
Okay, thank you.
But
not just for Florence, but.
Yeah, no, we'll do the whole county.
Yeah.
So you do get rabies vaccination certificates from vets all throughout Lane County, don't you?
Yes.
And those vaccination certificates are potentially engageable in terms of licensure in that jurisdiction, aren't they? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you share the information?
There's a very limited number of people who have access to that information, and that's in the ORS. It's not a county thing, it's an ORS. It's the Board of Health, which is in this case of the commissioners. There's a list of several authorized people. Because I know it's been a concern in the past about, in Eugene, about privacy issues, about vaccinations. But it's nothing we have any control over who's allowed to have it. It's very limited, but it's in the ORS, it's a state law. So.
Well, wait, I would imagine every jurisdiction, legally incorporated jurisdiction, would have legal access to the dogs within
their boundary.
Well, I was
just talking about within the county, which ones, who we're allowed to give it out to.
Huh.
But.
Well, if you could, every month, let's say, mail to each little town or some connection there, hey, these dogs have been vaccinated and we have their receipts, you know, by this person, then they could go and contact them.
Yep. Well, I have to go to another meeting right now. That was Dan. He's getting ready to start.
Oh.
But let's do a little research into these items and we'll get back to you.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, well, I don't know where if we got anywhere.
Well, it's the bag of worms that I've always understood that we're dealing with, okay? That oftentimes the left foot doesn't know what the right foot's doing. And so my understanding of it was something totally different than what is evidently true, okay? And so our definitions don't fit anything because you guys, that's not how you operate. So if you operate differently than what our assumptions are, then we're lost. Mm-hmm.
But as Michael said, we can do some research and report back.
I mean, if these vaccination certificates are sent to a centralized authority, and there's the county health authority.
Can I just wait a second? Just before you say too much. You and I have been agreeing for everything today that so far we've spoken of, and so that's kind of good. On the rabies thing, what he is saying is true. If they have a rabies certificate from Florence, but they've done nothing with it, it's been a waste. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Well, yeah. I mean,
It was meant to be used to inform us where these dogs were to see if they had a license or not.
Do you put it on a county database? Mm-hmm. So, if Spot from Florence gets vaccinated, does that go?
I can tell you my personal experience with PetTrak, and when I see the rabies licensing or the rabies report comes in from the vets, and if I see that it is in unincorporated Lane County, then it goes into our database and we match it with a dog owner if they're existing, and we can tell if they've licensed.
Right.
If they haven't licensed, then we send them a renewal notice. But if I see on a rabies report that it's somebody from an incorporated area, I don't do anything with it. I don't enter it into our database.
Where does that form go?
A vet can have many different clients. They can be in an incorporated area and an unincorporated area.
No, what I mean is when the vet from some jurisdiction sends you rabies certificates from someone...
It's a rabies report.
A rabies report from someone who's a resident in another jurisdiction. What happens with that information?
I don't do anything. We don't do anything. LCAS
doesn't
do anything with that
information. The only reporting comes from vets that pass this mandatory rabies reporting, from where the vet office is.
A lot of times...
It's not where the people live. It's where the office is. And it was only the city of Eugene, only Lane County, and only Junction City that passed it. So therefore, the vet offices in those jurisdictions report. Nobody else reports.
Well, I don't know.
Nobody else has to report. I don't know if they do.
Well, yeah, I think some of them do.
Some do, because I think some vets, I mean, there's a software system, I think it's called, I don't remember what it's called now, but I know I've talked to a couple vets where they were sending all of their rabies information to this software, and I think it's based in Texas, but ours is different. We only deal with unincorporated Lane County in our system.
See, and I think that's the very bugaboo about what you perceived that was happening is not what's happening. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's what I've been saying all along. What people think is happening isn't happening. Like, my understanding was, is if it wasn't incorporated to the point where they did their own licensing, it fell back automatically to Lane County. Well, that's not true.
I'm not seeing that.
Okay. So we have all kinds of laws throughout the United States about identifying bovines. But where does the paperwork go? Same place yours goes. Into some pile, some indescript something, and it never gets beyond being reported. Does that make sense? What good does it do to report something?
Do you get certificates from vets regarding dogs who live within Lane County, Eugene?
Sometimes.
Sure.
And what do you do with those?
We don't do anything with them.
So
see, it's not that they send us certificates. It comes on a report. So it's just a long list of their patients. And so we sort through and we find the ones that pertain to our area that we are responsible for, and we enter in that information. So it's in our database.
Have you noticed that there's actually a significant number of dogs from Eugene that come your way, but you can't do anything with it?
I can't say that I've seen a significant number. I've certainly seen quite a few, but it just depends on the vet. Like Dr. Penfold, your practices, like in Cottage Grove, you might not see a whole lot of outside of, mm-hmm. you know, you wouldn't see a lot of maybe Eugene residents unless they come down to your clinic for a reason. So, you know, I'm not going to see that on something from Forest Valley or another vet.
Are you in touch with the person in Eugene that handles?
No.
That would be neat to know what they do.
That's the sort of dilemma I'm talking about. because there is not the kind of communication that you assumed was going to happen.
Well, you wanted universal licensing, which is a good idea.
That's why I want universal licensing, is because I don't want it, because you live here, you can't get this, or because you live here, you can't get this. Have one rule for every resident of Lane County, and it applies to everybody. It applies to everybody the same.
You know, they're afraid of losing license revenue. So if there's a way that you can address that, hey, no, look, we'll defray our administrative expenses, but you get your own license revenue, but this is the centralized thing.
I have a question. I understand Eugene is not using the mandatory rates reporting. Is that true? If they don't get the information, they're not contacting the people if the people don't relicense them.
No, they don't.
I don't know what the city. No, they have that contract with Pet Data, I think.
Yeah,
that's a totally different thing. You're looking at it from the back end in, okay? You're talking about if you want the rabies certificates, those rabies certificates are what determine what animals are getting rabies shots, and then you get your licenses based on that. You're talking about them getting licenses and backing in the other way. That's not the same.
Okay? I think Pet Data is pretty aggressive about getting all the money they can.
They don't, but then unless they have the rabies certificate, they wouldn't have any.
Right, but I think they have a deal with city that the rabies certificates they get are routed.
They don't get any rabies certificates. Eugene doesn't get any rabies certificates.
Well, they're by law, they're required to get them through vets.
Well, I don't think they do.
Well, I bet they do.
They get maybe some, I don't know. But how many reporting stations are there in Lane County? Springfield doesn't do it.
Springfield sells licenses, right?
But there's no.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Well, it was Eugene, Lane County, and Junction City.
It worked okay when all three of them were together, but it doesn't work the same.
Yeah, we've separated.
Well, okay, complicated subject. To be continued. Janetta, you're going to do a little networking, maybe to get a small line item budget for it.
And
in fact, you could ask to make a presentation, just a brief presentation to the city council at an upcoming meeting about the unmet need for Cottage Grove residents.
Can I suggest you do something else? And that is, instead of putting the $2,000 towards vouchers, that would be wonderful if they could. But if they put $2,000 towards dog control, that would include them in the vouchers for $10,000, that might almost be more beneficial. Does that make sense? Because if they contracted with you to take care of the licensing as well as problem patients, and that would okay them to get the vouchers, that would be an alternative to you getting money for vouchers and stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah, but it's a matter of revenue and what their disposition is as well. I think Elkara used to have a contract with Cottage Grove, didn't they? I remember all those mobile home parks and cats. There was a big problem, quote unquote, about 15 years ago, and the county was involved in that. And we were concerned.
Some of the parks are outside city limits.
Yeah, they are.
Anyway.
Either one.
You have standing, and your organization has credibility, and I think you certainly could ask for to a city councilor time on the agenda to speak, and you could also, in your conversation prior to that, say, hey, look, there really is a need here, and we're all kind of hogtied with all this bureaucracy, but could you put a little money in it, in the budget, for vouchers? You know? I think it could work. All right, anything else on the agenda that we want to change or add? Okay. In terms of the audio minutes, does everyone approve the minutes that are on tape?
I didn't listen to them.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Did you receive the email I sent you about the rabbit?
Yes, I did.
From rabies?
Yes, I did.
A rabbit?
No, a dog that was adopted on a rescue.
Where?
I sent you that flyer.
Yeah, and I'm afraid I didn't bring it with me.
I thought maybe you'd have it here today.
So. I can bring it next time.
Okay.
Or I could, I didn't know if you shared it with the other committee members.
I didn't. I have like 1 second to quick.
Okay.
It was a mountain to get it to you, okay? I was so proud of myself, too. Actually.
Okay, well then, when I get back, I will forward it to everyone.
A lady died from rabies from a rescue group. So.
Where? Here in Lane County?
No. It was back east.
Probably back east.
Huh?
Probably back east.
Do you have canine brucellosis cases at all?
We have, well, we test for it all the time, and we've had a few cases.
I have a couple articles here. The one you sent me, I'll hand out.
Was that today or something? I was reading. Iowa? But from Iowa, yeah.
We test for it a lot because it is a concern.
So if the dog with that disease kisses you on the mouth or something by mistake or whatever, you could catch this disease?
It's not that kind of disease. Oh. It's more of a sexually transmitted disease. You'd have to be more involved. I don't think that... There's a lot of diseases that affect dogs and it's kind of like the swine problem they're having in China right now, African swine fever.
Cross-species contamination.
Some do, some don't.
Any problem with approving the minutes?
We don't have to approve the minutes, do we?
Well, we reviewed them.
And I did send everyone the link to the audio minutes. Okay.
All right. All right, continuing business, the Harriet Smith Trust update.
Yeah, it was the direction of the board that the funds that had been identified for the specialized trainer hours and training supplies, that that money be returned back into the reserves. So basically that it takes it out of an operating line item and puts it back into reserves. So if you want to pull the money back out, we go through the same process where you make a recommendation and I take it to the Board of Commissioners for approval, and then it has to go through a supplemental budget process.
Is there a better way?
Yes, there's gotta be.
That's the only way that I know to do it, that I know that if it affects the budget, it actually has to, and you're moving money in and out of reserves, it has to go through a supplemental process. And
what does that mean? That requires notification?
They do it 4 times a year.
That's crazy. I mean, you need some latitude to handle internal funds. I mean, if you don't want to go to vendor X, you want to go to vendor Y, you shouldn't have to go to the county for a supplemental budget.
Well, I think the board could make that decision to decide to maybe have funds moved into the operating part of the budget and say this is for future projects. The supplemental is involved because that's Lane County budget law and probably State of Oregon budget law, that if it's unappropriated reserves, it actually takes a supplemental budget process, which means it has to be a public hearing, posted in a public hearing.
So it's considered county money and not LCAS money?
Well, it's both.
Well, we are
so is
LCAS.
It our budget or their budget?
It's a Lane County budget.
How is this monies that were donated by this lady to a specific cause become Lane County's budget item?
Well, because it's controlled by Lane County. I mean, it's just within the whole organization. So they don't get to say how the money is expensed. You make the recommendation, the Board of Commissioners approves the use of it. So that's the process that I'm aware of, been in place since I've been here.
The concern we have is that I don't want in 5 years say, now we're going to be responsible for paying this back because it was used inappropriately. Does that make sense? And so when it goes through the process like we did before, then it went through the scrutiny of it passing the muster of what she wanted the monies to be spent for. Does that make sense?
What was it allocated for, the money that wasn't spent?
Specialized training hours for a trainer.
The stuff
and,
that
and
we didn't want. Mm-hmm.
And right. Training supplies.
And we talked about training supplies with Sasha the last 2 months, and I think you threw out a number of $8,700 and change or something for training supplies.
I think at this point, you know, I would say if the money was approved, we were not notified that it was ready to be spent, I would say. It's one comment that I have. And secondarily, I think Greenhill would like to just back out of any relationship with this money at this time. It sounds like clearly it could be better spent to support the staff of LCAS, to support the infield officers, to support the animals at large within the community. And at this point, we're...
Now, you said that you and Carrie basically had felt uneasy that there might be some understanding on our part or someone's part that this had to result in no euthanasias or whatever, that there were strings attached. You use that word, strings attached. How does... I mean, sure, okay.
I understand your decision. That makes sense.
Okay, well, there we are. So...
Would it be helpful to that we look at the trust again? I mean...
We can talk about it. Why
the,
not?
The conditions of the trust dictate how the money is to be used, so...
Right.
I think this board has probably adhered very closely to the desires of the trust, mm-hmm. so I think the risk is small that you would see some legal action down the road no. saying it was misappropriated or misspent.
Right.
I'm just saying if it goes into a kind of a holding phase and we don't have to go through that same scrutiny again, it has the opportunity to do that. Okay, it's just, mm-hmm. does that make sense? I mean, that's what it sounded like you were saying, is to hold it at bay, don't spend it, but have it there ready to spend if we find something we want to put it
across. Yeah. So the way the Lane County budget process works is we have this line item called reserves, unappropriated reserves. So it is basically like an account where you can't readily tap into it without direct budgetary authority granted to move it. So when the board decides we're going to spend money towards the kennel doors at First Avenue, then I do a board order based upon your recommendation to the Board of Commissioners, and they approve it. But then because you're moving money out of a reserves account, budget law says it has to go through a supplemental budget process, which is a formal budget process, which means there's a public hearing. And it goes to the board again, to the board as the budget committee and all that. So if there was a materials and services line that you move that money into and you say, okay, we just want to put it in here because maybe we want to spend $2,000 here, we want to spend $3,000 here, then you could just do that.
You have more discretion.
You have more discretion. Mm-hmm. It's just that when it's in that reserves account, it takes direct budgetary approval to move it in and out of there. So
we could address that. I'm just
so when the board directed that the training supplies be moved back into reserves, I have to put it in a supplemental budget.
The actual
process.
Board discussed this and said, move this back into reserves.
Well, it's
at a meeting, at a public meeting, they talked about this level
well,
of micromanagement.
Well, you know, it's not just public works. The supplemental budget process encompasses all of Lane County, so you see a big list of budgetary movements. And so I'm sure that they read the packet and they look at it, but are they minutely discussing each and every item? Probably not.
Okay. Let's look into this trust thing more broadly and how we might be able to have a little more discretion.
Would it be helpful for me to send the actual trust document out to the board again? Or do you already have a copy? Do you want to look at it again to see?
I'd like to look at it again.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to deal with, thank you, rescue licenses.
The board, I think, had asked for just something back on that issue. And I the second page of your packet today shows what we are asking to be incorporated in our Chapter 7 regarding rescue licensing.
Page?
It's the second page of the packet. And you can see 7.086. This is our proposal to incorporate licensing for rescue organizations, that we are going to require them to obtain a license with Lane County. And this is at our legal counsel right now for review. So this is our proposed language, but it has not been adopted yet.
Is 7.086?
That's part of our Chapter 7.
That's already there.
Yes.
So the red writing is just things
right.
you want?
Mm-hmm. Our proposed changes.
I have two questions. One, what's the cost of a rescue license?
We haven't determined that yet.
Okay. So you haven't determined the... any fines that would be levied either.
No.
What's the...
My issue with something like this would be that, and it's not a negative thing, it's just an observation, that frequently something like this would just change its name. And you should have in here a statement of rescue or organization similar in function. Does that make sense? I mean, they would change the rescue to
self-measure
to... an adoption center.
You're talking about definitions.
Yeah, I'm just talking about, you keep talking about rescue here. And I see at times organizations just dodging this with changing a slight verbiage.
I get what you're saying, and I didn't include it in the packet, but we've already started working on those definitions where we talk about. I didn't include that because this is just a staff notes.
You know,
but to address that, right? Yeah. So we
change something that makes it legal. For
right. So we have definition codes for foster and rescue, and it does look like we are proposing maybe $250 to $300 per year for a license rescue amount, but this is very preliminary, so it's basically just staff notes, which is why I didn't hand it out.
Has it been discussed how you're going to determine how you find the rescues?
Are these rescue organizations that are domiciled in the unincorporated area?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
You got to be kidding.
In other words, if they're within the cities, they're not.
Lucky Paws and all these other. That's crazy. The county should have jurisdiction.
Only the county doesn't do much.
Well, it's public health again. Mm-hmm. It's a public health jurisdiction. I should think the county does have authority over this.
So in other words, this would have to go to the cities the same as mandatory rabies.
Well, maybe not.
The whole county.
Maybe not. Maybe not. If you can contextualize it within the public health jurisdiction, and this does pertain to that, isn't that the reason why you're tightening this up?
Yeah, I'm just trying to read the staff notes here, and I don't see it addressing anything outside of Lane County jurisdiction. Nor do I see anything in the staff notes about how you determine if an organization is classified as a rescue.
However, it's still important, I think, to pass something like this, if nothing else, to show the cities that they're dropping the ball or that they need to address it themselves. Better way to put it.
Hmm.
I don't know the addresses of the rescues, but I doubt if there are any in the county. There may be. I could be wrong.
Well, there's that one out by Spencer Butte, or there's going to be, you know, that...
Lovable?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know what her address is.
There's someone out there. It's outside the city limits.
Is it?
I think so. They're spending a lot of money for boutique kind of thing. Well...
I'm very pleased to see that this is being addressed.
Mm-hmm. And I get the impression, I'm afraid I don't quite remember, but I think this is part of some state language that we got to incorporate. Mm-hmm.
Has this already been added, this whole 7.08 at 086, is this already operating?
No, it is not. This is the proposed.
The whole thing is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There's some grammatical things, like in section C, it says, an animal rescue entity may transfer a license issued under this section to another person. with a written, well, is an entity a person? Or is it another entity? But whatever.
It could be a person.
Yeah, but it is.
A 501c3 could be a person.
What?
A 501c3 could be a person.
Right, but an entity is an organization, a legal organization, right?
What's a 501c3?
Right, but it's an organization, not a person.
A person can be an organization as well.
Yeah, but it's not synonymous. It's only one possibility. In any event, what else? This is interesting. Has this been adopted by the legislature? This language?
Senate Bill 6 was passed several years ago.
Yeah, I think this is part of the ORS, and I think we're trying to incorporate it into our own Chapter 7 code.
Part of the reason this is being addressed is because of the importation of disease. And I can say the CDC just shut down the importation of all dogs from Egypt, except for a special allowance for it. They'd have to petition the CDC to allow it because of rabies coming in. There have been several cases in the last couple of years of rabies being imported through Egypt, partly because the documentation from some of those countries is less than reliable. And that may have been why that lady died. I know there was a person that spent some time in India and rescued a dog in India. And I don't know if the dog came here. I don't have the documentation here. But she came home here and got sick and died of rabies, probably from that dog.
Are there
but
blood?
That wasn't an importation.
Are there blood tests for rabies?
Not that. There are blood tests for post-rabies.
No, but if a dog has rabies and you don't know it,
No, you sacrifice them and you look for naked bodies in the hippocampus or the brain. You know what I mean? That's what's done.
So if someone wanted to bring a dog in the country, they couldn't get a vial of blood and run it through?
No. Antibodies and everything else follow the disease. You know, it's hard, kind of like crime, it's hard to predict who's going to be the criminal, who's not. You can't respond to it until it happens, you know, and that's kind of what rabies is like. Once it's there and you know it's there, then you can respond to it.
Have you encountered rabid dog in your career?
Yeah.
Are there telltale signs right away that you can?
Well, this dog, obviously neurologic, it had this intermittent seizures and bit about 25 people. And so, that was in 1974, and we had 34 people got treated. And people were gone to Hawaii, and I was scared crapless because I was fairly new as a veterinarian, and I took the head and sent it to Oregon State, and then I apologized to the owners for what I had done after the fact because they hadn't given me permission. You know, I mean, they were grateful because their son was one of the people treated, you know.
Jesus.
But at the time, I was afraid they were going to be really angry, you know. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't get a hold of them. I tried. So we sent the dog off. Had rabies. What you discovered with that is that there's an awful lot more dogs and cats in the county than what you thought there were, you know, because they were lined up. I think we give rabies shots for, what, $1 apiece or $2 apiece. And there were thousands of dogs lined up. Well, we thought most animals were vaccinated, only to find out that most animals actually weren't vaccinated. I forget how many thousands we ended up doing. At that point, we had volunteer groups making up vaccines, and we just lined them up and pop, 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 pop all day long, vaccinated dogs. But, so it's present. It's present mostly in other species, you know, other bats and around here bats.
Squirrels
skunks.
Or something?
No, it's
mice.
Skunks and bats around here. Mm. And they get, you know, I mean, what has it been, four this year already, or three or four this year, I think, at Oregon State.
In those species?
Last year, there was a cat in Junction City.
I know they have cases of...
Huh? In Springfield. She didn't live too far from me.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. So there are animals, they don't hear about them. See, it doesn't get much press, so you don't hear much about them. Cats are a little different, and they usually crawl up and die. They don't usually show the hydrophobia and the, you know, where they drool over water and attack and go crazy. That's why dogs are diagnosed, is because they have such a marked behavioral change. And they usually drool and sit over a water dish.
It's terrible.
Real bizarre. But rabies travels along the nervous pathways instead of usually through a vascular method, so they can vary in their incubation period. They're not quite as consistent, where, you know, most viruses you get 3 days, 5 days after you've been exposed, you start having symptoms of the flu or cold or whatever it is. That's not how rabies works. So.
Didn't you once say it can incubate for up to 6 months?
It can incubate a long time, depending on where you're bitten and the nerve pathways that it uses to get to your brain.
Can you knock it out in the early stages?
If I was exposed, then it knocked it out because I got treated.
So a dog that got exposed.
Well, you don't know when a dog is exposed. There's no way to really know that. I mean, because how many positive do you find that a dog was exposed to?
There's no, once the symptoms start, it's too late?
It's too late. Yeah, it's too late. And a dog if a dog attacks a person, within 10 days of that attack, it'll have obvious dementing rabies, and that's why that 10-day holding quarantine is always held on a dog. Because if it's beyond 10 days, then they didn't have virus present in their saliva at the time of the bite. That's why they have that 10-day holding period.
Okie doke. I did read about some cabin in eastern Oregon several years ago where one of the animals had the bubonic plague.
Yeah, that's actually quite common. Yeah.
Really? Can people
dry,
get that?
Dry, dusty environments. Mm-hmm.
Can you get it by inhaling dried feces or anything?
Mouse droppings, yeah.
Jesus. Okay, on that happy note, Green Hill activity?
Let's see, so we have submitted our intake and outcome reports for the month of April. And I would say there's nothing significantly notable between April of this year versus April of last year. Within the last month, we were deployed as part of Lane County Animals in Disaster. Actually, I got the call as I was walking out of this meeting last month.
Oh.
We were deployed down in Cottage Grove for flooding, which now seems like a very, very long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kitten season is in full swing, and we are still planning on merging our two shelter locations into one, so no longer operating out of the First Avenue location. All animals and operations will move to the Green Hill location as of July 1st this year. I'm working with each of our jurisdictional partners to review materials, including information that's sent out to community members, how and where to update licensing, information on websites, and then also animal welfare officer protocol, and working with the police departments as well to update overnight protocol. When the two locations merge, we will be open to the public 7 days a week.
What do you mean overnight protocol changes? What do you mean by that?
Well, we receive dropped off animals from Lane County Sheriff, from first responders after our business hours close. Throughout the year, if there's a car accident or hospitalization or some sort of emergency where an animal is involved. And currently, for the past 8 years, 7 years, drop-off has been at the First Avenue location, and so we're updating.
So the drop-off, they'll have to take them to Green Hill?
To Green Hill, correct.
You're open 24 hours?
We will be open 7 days a week to the public. First responders and police officers, animal welfare officers, will have access to a portion of the building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
veterinarian will be on staff part of that time?
Not overnight. No, the protocol will remain that if an animal is in distress or there's a significant emergency, that the first responders work with EDH to bring the animal there. And then we communicate with EDH once the animal is stabilized to then bring it and recover it at the shelter.
Do you have someone on the premises 24 hours?
We do not.
Now, currently, can licenses, are licenses sold at First Avenue?
They're sold at both of our locations, Green Hill and First Avenue.
Both county and city?
Correct.
Oh, good. Do you sell them for Springfield or anyone else?
No.
But Eugene and?
Eugene and county.
You sell licenses and handle that. Well, that's good.
Is there any significance to the welfare, neglect, and abuse of March and April where it seemed like there was a little increase at the Plain County animals?
I would say it just fluctuates.
Yeah, but that's more than it's been for the year. I probably have to look at several years, to maybe summertime. Numbers are higher.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the weather and then also the resources that investigators and officers have to go and investigate those situations.
It would look like it's almost tripled as much as usual.
You had a bloodhound you transferred to another shelter?
When we have, in some breeds, that are better served with breed-specific rescues, we'll reach out, and a bloodhound is definitely one of those breeds.
That's cool. How did a parakeet... Safekeeping RTO?
Friendliest little bird you'll ever meet.
Did it just fly in?
We don't often see companion birds in the shelter, but every once in a while. We also have two turtles in foster care right now, and yeah, not just dogs and cats.
People bring them in, or you find them, or what?
Yeah, either members of the public will bring them in, or animal welfare officers, or police officers.
Wow. Oh, a rat. Darcy, the rat, was euthanized. Okay, any questions of any kind? So your new facilities are really going to be shipshape and...
Would like to come out for a tour. I would love to offer you, any members of the public, anyone would be welcome to come out for a tour. Mm-hmm. And we will have kind of an official grand opening about the end of July. We'll incorporate some media involvement and do some large scale tours, but certainly if anybody would like to come out prior to the official opening on July 1st, I'd love to show you around.
I've received quite a periodic solicitations. Nice ones. Do you know anything about the city of Eugene's spay-neuter clinic future?
I've not heard anything within the last few months. The last report that I gave you is my most up-to-date information, which is that they are planning to continue to function. And at that time, we're looking at another location,
Okay.
Potentially vacating that First Avenue spot.
Who's the point person there?
Oh, it varies. I can share that information. I have a contact at the city planning department, and then there's a veterinarian that spends a few days a week in the actual clinic that's our contact for day-to-day stuff.
Cool. Well, it's exciting. How will, right now, are there, there's a large number of people that are used to First Avenue, right? How are you going to do a mass education thing? How are you going to get the word out, we've moved, you know?
Yeah, so we have a very strategic information launch planned that will incorporate both signage at the shelter, members of the media, both digital media, TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, that will all help us to announce the official merge. We are very active on social media as well. I've got a 20,000 list of email recipients. And so we understand that a lot of people get their information in various ways. And certainly, we're just going to try to hit them from all angles.
And you'll have some big signs at First Avenue saying, we've moved.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll have signs at First Avenue. I'm working with the city and Lane County actually right now to erect some signs, you know, at First Avenue in Bertelsen, and then on West 11th in Bertelsen, there's currently animal shelter licensing.
Yeah.
Spay-neuter clinic signs. So I'm working to get some of those signs out by the Greenwood location as well. And, yeah, just mass marketing. This Sunday, if you guys are available, we anticipate about 1,500 people will come out to Alton Baker Park as part of our Bark in the Park event. And so we're having conversations and have been having those conversations for the last year about the merge. So.
Barf in the park?
Barf in the park.
Oh. Bark in the park.
Sorry. That's a good one. You have 1,500 people coming? Mm-hmm. That's a good. Is that your main fundraiser?
It was until last year, and then an evening for animals, which is the gala that we have in the fall.
Wow.
Balanced that one out.
Very good. LCAS activity. Thank you, by the way.
I'm afraid I haven't read this month, so I don't think I see anything that stands out.
Are you seeing a pretty good cooperation from vets in terms of sending in rabies certificates?
For the most part.
Are vets still selling licenses?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And did you give any thought to increasing the compensation for like first-time licenses or something? Is that something you could do on your own?
I would have to research that. Since I'm not familiar with how it was established in the first place, I don't think it's very much that we compensate vets for
$2,
them.
Right?
Yeah, it's a very
so
small amount.
A lot of times vets have said, you know, it's kind of a burden, but we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sweetened it, at least for first time, you know, when a brand new puppy comes in at 6 months or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
mm-hmm.
make the first time a little more generous. What would you say?
We've already said it before. We've said it over and over again, we're going to increase it, it never happens. So, I don't think the county can do it for $2. It costs more than that in clerical time and effort.
So, you know, maybe.
But we talked about it, what, 3 or 4 times now? About increasing the fee?
More than that.
Never happened.
I should think that if a rabies certificate transferred by a vet to the county results in full licensure. It actually results in licensure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That deserves something. That ought to count for something. That's, but without, you know, really hurting the county, but maybe double it to $4 or something, you know. Just some good faith thing. Well, okay, we're at the end of. Is there anything abroad in the county and since our last meeting, is there anything that is happening to companion animals or whatever, any phenomenon that's different or noteworthy at all, that's in any way significant? Do you see anything? Is it basically standard? For example, impounds and interaction with the public, and are there fewer ultimately? What are the trends?
I feel like over the last month there's been an increase in livestock attacks.
Oh, by dogs?
By dogs, yeah. By dogs at large. So then we see those animals coming into the shelter for that bite quarantine. But that, you know, that could, I wouldn't say that that's a trend, but it's certainly been an increase with the warmer weather. And
Has it been, have the dogs been identified to kill the sheep at Clear Lake? Yep.
I believe so.
The last meeting, it was suspected the dogs, but it couldn't be proved. Mm-hmm. So
they killed a second group, though.
Mm-hmm. I know there was
and
a second
group.
And
there's a witness, I think, so they tracked. And
the second group was smaller, and they got those dogs, but what about the first
they
group?
They thought they were the same dog.
They thought it was the same dogs, okay.
And we don't have any more dead sheep, so probably right.
Right.
What happened to the dogs? Are they impounded, or are they secured? What?
They're either in doggy heaven or doggy hell. I don't know which one.
All of them have been euthanized?
Two of them. Three of them.
They were by either the Lane County Sheriff or by the owner. I'm not sure who, but they never came into the shelter system.
It was by the owner.
The owner took care of them.
You shot him?
I don't ask questions. I don't want the answers.
Sounds like the old West. But that's not nice to...
There's a bit of that goes on.
Well, okay, next month's agenda.
So the biggest change, Scott, that I see in Captain, we didn't quite go wrong.
Yeah.
Dogs used to be worth $50, $100, $200. Now dogs are bringing $2,000 and $3,000, and there's a waiting list of 200 for that dog.
That's right.
I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
There are fewer breeders out there breeding dogs, and so therefore people can't find a dog, and prices have gone up.
They go to the East Coast to buy their dog. They fly. They get their own ticket, go to the East Coast, buy their puppy, and bring it home. So not only did they spend $2,000 or $3,000 on a puppy, they also bought a plane ticket.
I've seen that with really special breeds that they purchase from a breeder from the East Coast.
Sure. They put them in a little Sherpa and carry them with them.
There's fewer breeders because of restrictive laws.
You take a good Labradoodle or a Golden Doodle, they can't breed them fast enough.
Right, and they're a mongrel.
I have a lady who says, I hope you fix my dog. She says, this dog is putting my daughter through college.
Oh,
it has
wow.
earned us over $15,000 in the last 2 years.
And they're not tested for any health issues.
And I'm sitting here trying to get $50 for a cat stay. And I go, oh, there's something so wrong with this picture.
There is.
You know, I mean, you deal with that every day with ungodly money spent here and then none for over here. And it really drives you up a wall sometimes.
People think there's hybrid vigor in a Labrador or whatever. But yet both have PRA issues, both have hip issues, and if you double up on it, you're going to get them into puppies. And that's what people don't understand.
I have to survive somehow.
There's a lot of peer pressure for the purebreds to test for every known health defect of that breed, which we do, and I'm sure you do too.
Part of my point on this whole thing was if these dogs can bring $2,000 or $3,000, rescue groups are going to be in business.
And they are.
And they're directly competing with you for that same dog, because they're not trying to get purebreds, they're just trying to get a dog. You know what I mean? And I don't know the structure of rescue groups. I mean, they've actually been good to me. You know, they do a pretty good job of trying to get them spayed and neutered.
They're your clients. They're your clients.
They aren't, but hopefully the adopted parents of that dog will be, you know what I mean? So they're just looking for a bargain, and we have a relatively modest cost system.
Do you do Lucky Paws? You ever done that?
I would love to tell you.
We adopted a beautiful black German Shepherd lab. They said lab mix. She's gorgeous. She has a tendency to nip, however. And I don't know how to... I mean, she just loves to... I said, hey, Holly, we take her to Jennifer Biglin's training spot. We've only gone to three things. She's a doll.
You need a couple more.
Anyway, but she had everything done before we got her. Microchip.
Jennifer probably needs to teach you how to train a dog.
No, but I mean, if we ask about what the difference is, the difference is that, I mean, they're probably hitting this whole thing in a sweet time because there's more money out there now than what there's been for the last 50 years.
I don't have the documentation, but apparently organized crime has noticed as dipping into it. Far money involved.
Crossing state lines and getting dogs involved.
Transportation and so forth.
I don't know. I'm just hearing what people tell me, you know what I mean? And it flabbergasts me to think they spend the kind of money as they spend, you know.
Are you seeing a larger percentage of your impounds who have been spayed or neutered and or microchipped over the last couple of years?
That's a really good question.
And that is the kind of goal.
Yeah, you know, I would say it's interesting. So for as many as the as really well-trained purebreds with microchips that have been altered that come in, here locally, we're still seeing, those come in by accident, somebody left the gate open. By the time they get into the shelter, somebody already knows they're missing, and they're come and generally reclaimed that same day. Interestingly enough, in this community, we are still seeing just about an equal amount of pretty severely neglected animals. Everything from live fleas and ear mites and long nails and matted fur to much worse. And so I think while there is a portion of the community that is spending a tremendous amount of time and money on their companion animals, I also feel like there's still a fair amount of this population that we're not reaching, and whether it's a lack of education or lack of resources or a lack of care, there are still animals in this community that are living in pretty horrific situations. And of course, oftentimes those are the ones that come into the shelter and nobody comes looking for them.
I think that's probably true, and I think that it's partly because we've increased the dynamics of who can and can't own dogs and cats. Before, people that had very little wherewithal were reluctant to adopt a dog or cat because they knew they had no wherewithal, and if they were going to be somewhat responsible, they weren't going to be able to adopt that dog or cat. And what I see today is that anybody can adopt a cat or dog, and they have no regard to how they're going to feed it or take care of it prior to that decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And assume the community is going to take care of it for them. Where I, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't see that so much, where people actually, if they had a cat or dog, they thought they'd have to take care of it and budget it accordingly.
Right.
I don't think we see that as much anymore. I mean, you run into them, I'm sure, that they have nowhere with all. And frequently, the idea of when they have a cat they put to sleep, they let it out the door, and in the next county over, or the next town over, that takes care of that. They're not going to pay $40 or $50 to help.
That's terrible.
Well, I mean, it's just, I just am telling you what it is. I don't think that's what we see. But there's an awful lot of poor people that have dogs and cats. Some of them aren't that bad of a person. They actually do spend their money pretty well, but not all of them.
Right.
So we run into it.
And there's a lot of the senior community and the seniors that are
either are passing or are getting close to, and the family's having to deal with the animals, and one family got a hold of us, and I guess the person right before they passed said, don't kick my kitty out, get him to the Humane Society. Yeah, and it's thankful. This sounds terrible, but it's sometimes good that the person passes so the animal comes to us, because the animal oftentimes is in such bad shape that it needs to go to kitty heaven or get some major dental or whatever kind of medical care, and it's not going to get it so long as it's living in that household.
So you're talking about probably the person that I dealt with a week ago, and they had 10 dogs. She died.
No, this one was a cat.
Okay, different.
I never heard of that one.
Well, we rehomed all of them, but what a pain in the butt. You know what I mean? You have to shave them and clean them up, bathe them, and then try to figure out where they would best fit.
But one good thing, I can verify that your TNR program works, because I've got two people who are dealing with a large cat situation. And last week, unfortunately, I only took up two cats that were not altered, because they kept trapping cats that were already altered.
Good.
So TNR works.
Good deal.
Molly, are you still seeing a need for behavioral assistance at Green Hill?
Oh, I think we could always use that, sure. Just because we do take so many dogs off the streets, who could use, I mean, nobody's going to completely alter a personality, but could have some of the sharp edges taken off and maybe just get adoptable a little sooner. And then some with some fairly, significant behavioral problems. But I do have to agree with Sasha that there are, just as a dog walker, we see really thin dogs come in with all kinds of fur loss, hair loss, and it's pretty sad. Some of them have been so thin that we can't, volunteers can't even deal with them because their diets are so specific. They're so thin that they have to be fed very, very carefully in order to gain weight. And and I know with cats, I do cat rescue, and there's still so many people out there who see cats as private property, and they're offended when you ask them if they need help, and they kind of resent it. And they're females are having babies, and they say, oh, no, we're giving them to our friends. Well, we know who their friends are, and they're not going to spay and neuter. It goes on so much still. It's very disheartening. I guess the problem is better, if you see it over a grand scale, but it's still very depressing. I live in Springfield, and I don't know what's wrong with Springfield, because I know you could take Springfield dogs, but Springfield won't pay for its cats to go to Green Hill, and as a result, we have a pretty shoddy reputation for stray cats, and it's true. And,
have you ever gone to the Springfield City Council? And
oh, we had a meeting one year, and what they do is they pat you on the head and say, you're doing a great job. Just keep it up. There's no money for it. But I'm thinking we have a new mayor now. I don't know. It's a woman. Maybe she's a little more reasonable. And we simply, we'll never have a shelter, and I accept that. But we need to be able to get our cats into Green Hill. And I can't believe we don't.
I would go into the city council and, every couple of months.
There was a period of time when a whole bunch of us was going up there. Well, I don't live in Springfield, so basically I was a non-entity, and they didn't care less what I said, because I didn't vote for them. So eventually you find up giving up because nobody will listen and nobody will do anything. And there was quite a period of time where I, as Cottage Grove, was getting phone calls from people in Springfield begging for help. They found the stray mama cat or this or that or whatever issue. They were begging for, so I tell everybody, Could it go to Springfield City Council? Oh, yes, we will. Whether they did or not, who knows?
Can we do something more than that? That is, could Green Hill give an approximate cost of what it would be? I mean, we talk these fictitious numbers. We don't. Are you talking about $1 million or $1,000 or $10,000 for them to take cash to you? What is the barrier?
Yeah, we negotiate with our contract.
No, I'm talking about what would it take. You could put a number out there. If you guys don't want to put a number out there, you're really not being honest.
We've offered it to each of our contract partners and the city.
Make it public. Because well, the public would donate to it.
It is public. The contracts are public.
No, I'm not talking about the contract. I'm talking about what would you do it for? Put it out there for every town. So there are people within a town that might go around the city and pay it on their behalf.
Okay? And it might be a way of shaming Springfield.
No, I think that's the way to shame Springfield. You know, there are people in Springfield with lots of money. And that would be a feather in their hat to donate the money, not directly.
We're in business to shame Springfield. We have a good working relationship with Springfield.
It's not to shame Springfield, it's to get the cash.
With any of our contract partners.
It's to get this one item. It's a one-item deal.
It's this, I believe that it's the citizens that need to talk to their representatives.
Right. Well, I don't.
And then each year that we renegotiate contract, we're always willing to have services. You've eliminated
an entire group of people. Okay.
We haven't done anything. Their representatives have determined that that's not how they want to spend the money.
You're not hearing what I'm saying.
Well, I'm going to jump. Dr. Pinfold, I'm going to jump in here. I mean, one thing I love about this group is that you're all very passionate about animals, and of course that's why you're here. But we need to be respectful to one another, and I'd like to just emphasize that because Sasha is here on behalf of Green Hill,
and she's green,
and she is, and I know. We're all a bunch of nice people, but I just want to reiterate, we need to let each other talk out and get our thoughts out, and I don't think Sasha's in a position where she can change the rules.
No, but
Green
isn't
Hill,
there
so.
A way to get what that number would be?
Well, I think Green Hill is in a position where they have contract partners, they negotiate with their partners, and that is just how we do it.
Okay.
I don't think they have the leeway to go outside that.
Let me explain something to you. Doing that doesn't allow the cats in Springfield to be taken care of. Okay? And I believe that we always have room for new ideas.
I totally agree.
So this new idea would be, if we knew about what kind of monies we're talking about, there would be private citizens that might be willing to donate the money specifically on behalf of Springfield for the cats to be allowed to into Green Hill, okay? It's just an alternative to sitting down and being told no. I mean, you've been told no how many times?
Quite a few.
Multiple times, okay?
But I do think that Janetta was right, too. In the one big meeting we had several years ago, we had Green people there, Green Hill people there. We had the woman who partially owns the emergency vet hospital. So we had business represented in Springfield, and so she was a Springfield person. But they're not interested in people coming from the outside. They have to hear from Springfield residents. So I feel it's up to me partly to get knock on doors, especially people I know. And see if we can't get a group of people to show up. I mean, I'm not going to make any difference at all. I know that. They couldn't care less if I come to a meeting or not. But if we could get a few people to show up, and maybe continuously show up, maybe we could get somewhere.
You might find out who your ward city councilor is and buttonhole that person.
You're right. Yeah.
If... they can't see the light. They can feel the heat. Do you know Terry Sue Wright?
Yeah.
She lives in Springfield.
She does.
Right. She must know a lot of people. Well, motives are good. Our next meeting is when?
June 10th.
All right. Sasha, thank you, as always, for coming. It's always informative. Really appreciate it, too. You don't have to come in. We appreciate it. It's pretty exciting, huh? Now, will you have more kennels when you open up than you do now for dogs?
You will have the ability to expand the number of kennels or decrease them based on the needs of the population. So we have various sizes of kennels, and we have space that can be expanded should a hoarding situation or something unexpected come up.
And then you're going
to
have another facility for dogs later, right? Aren't you building a second one in your expansion?
We, or?